Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
The former FBI agent whom President Trump once accused of treason is out with a new book today that claims the president is a threat to national security. Peter Strzok is former deputy of the FBI Counterintelligence Division and was at the heart of investigations into Hillary Clinton's email server and the 2016 Trump campaign's ties to Russia. Strzok was later kicked off Special Counsel Robert Mueller's team and fired from the FBI over disparaging texts he sent about President Trump. His new book is called Compromised, Counterintelligence, and the Threat of Donald J. Trump. Peter Strzok joins us now. Welcome to Here and Now.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
Well, let's start with that title, Compromised. You write that President Trump's actions, large and small, public and secret, were so inexplicably aligned with those of Russia that the coincidence, if it was a coincidence, had become impossible to ignore. This was back before he became president. Do you think that President Trump is doing the bidding of Russia? Do you think that he is compromised?
I do. I think particularly when you look at some of his financial entanglements and other things that he has actively sought to hide, that if you're a foreign intelligence service, if you're somebody like the Russian intelligence services or the Chinese or anybody else, that same information gives you tremendous leverage over being able to influence somebody. And it goes to explaining some of the inexplicable things that Trump has done, particularly with regard to Russia, whether that's his failure to call out the Russians for placing bounties on the heads of American soldiers in Afghanistan, his failure to say anything about the attempted assassination of dissident Navalny inside of Russia, you know, the ramming of a U.S. troop transport in Syria, injuring several soldiers. Just time and time again, Trump is doing these things that are inexplicably not in America's national security interests, but do benefit Russia. And I think the compromise explains that.
When you say his financial entanglements, he has said he has no business dealings with Russia. Do you have evidence that he actually does?
Well, I think the record is clear that he does. If you look going back to his campaign, there are a number of statements that, you know, before that, one of his sons was talking about the disproportionate amount of the Trump Foundation and Trump Group's financial holdings that were held by Russia. If you look at his the actions of his personal attorney, Michael Cohen, going around seeking a deal for a Trump Tower in Moscow. At the same time Trump is doing that, or at the same time Cohen is doing that, Trump is on the campaign trail saying he has no ties to Russia. Well, that's clearly a lie. That's clearly false. At the time, Vladimir Putin clearly knew that. Trump knew that. The FBI knew that. But the American public didn't. So to keep that lie a secret gives and gave Russia leverage over him.
Many people in this country know you as the former FBI agent whose text messages with former FBI lawyer Lisa Page were released. In them, you called President Trump an idiot. You said Hillary should win 100 million to zero. People on the right especially see you as part of the so-called deep state, someone who is using their official position in the FBI to hurt Donald Trump. What do you say to those people now?
Well, I think that's an absurd accusation. Look, the fact of the matter is that I and others on the team in the fall of 2016 had enormous knowledge, which was not publicly known, that had we disclosed it, would have absolutely torpedoed Trump's candidacy. The fact of the matter is, to this day, I and others know things that would be damaging to Trump, that would hurt him right now, and yet none of us have spoken about it. So it's clear that there wasn't some attempt to undermine his candidacy or his presidency. As to the idea of personal opinions, every single FBI agent has a personal political opinion. I'm no different. But every day, my experience over 20 years was that people walk in the door and they do their job, whether that's in the FBI, whether that's in the Secret Service, whether it's in the CIA, the Department of State, or anywhere else in the government.
Well, when you say you know things that would damage the president now, what are they?
Well, I'm obviously not going to get into them. There are things that are still certainly classified. There are things that might be still under investigation. But the fact of the matter is that those things exist and they're appropriately not discussed. And so with that in mind, and of those things that are now known, the cases on all the people that we had under investigation, all the reasons why we were looking at them, all the things that are contained in the Mueller report and in the Senate Intel report, we knew many of those things throughout the fall of 2016, yet nobody said anything about them. All of them would have been immensely damaging to Trump, and yet they never came out. And that's, if anything, that's direct evidence that we were not out to get Trump, that if anything, we've been over backwards to make sure we didn't harm him or his candidacy.
Well, tell me a little bit more about that, because you do talk a lot in this book about the conflict that existed within the FBI, not just about investigating President Trump, but the other investigation, political investigation that you were involved with, which was looking into Hillary Clinton's emails. In both cases, there was a lot of debate about whether this was something that you should do and how careful you would need to be if you did do it, but also the risks of not looking into these things.
That's right. And I mean, I think it was hopefully a historic and only time we ever have investigations involving both of the candidates for the presidency. But they're very different investigations. And if you want to understand the difference in the way they were handled, the investigation which involved Secretary of State Clinton was a criminal matter that had been largely known to the public and was concluded in July. That was in a very different place in terms of being in the public dialogue, being subject to oversight and document requests and visibility with Congress, as opposed to the investigations we had on those people around the Trump campaign, which were counterintelligence in nature. They certainly had some criminal aspects. They were all classified. They were all ongoing. They weren't yet closed. And they were all very, very sensitive. So I understand people look at those two cases and say, wow, these had a really different, very disparate impact on each of the candidates. But that was appropriate, given where those cases were. And again, I'd point out, the way that those cases, the FBI either did or did not comment on them, universally across the board, tended to hurt candidate Clinton and help candidate Trump.
Right. You write that with the benefit of hindsight, I think it's likely that Comey's July 5th speech and subsequent notifications to Congress on the reopening and closing of the email investigation changed the election result. And you also write that Russia's multi-pronged attack across Democratic databases and social media to help Trump and hurt Clinton changed the result of the election.
That's right. When you look at the election with a number of swing voters, according to 538, in the states of Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania needed to change the Electoral College outcome could fit in one football stadium in one game, you don't need a lot to move that needle. And unfortunately, I think as I look back, as I've heard others look back, I think with the benefit of hindsight, which is an impossible standard, but when I look at that, I think I certainly would have advocated more strongly to not make that speech in July. As to the Russians, absolutely, I think they had an impact and changed the outcome of the election. What they did in such a comprehensive way in social media, in the things that they were doing to attack our voting infrastructure and casting doubt on any number of social issues, absolutely was effective enough to sway such a small number of voters that were needed to change the outcome.
Why come out with this book right now? We've had so many books about President Trump from people who've been in the government, from John Bolton. Now there's Michael Cohen's book is out today, along with your book. Do you think that you're going to change any minds? Or do you think that people have such strong opinions at this point, not just about President Trump, but about you, that they're either going to listen and believe everything you say or not listen to a word you say?
I think it'll make a difference. I mean, clearly there are people who are already set in their opinions, but there are people who are open-minded. There are people who are still trying to make up their mind what they think. And beyond just the vote, beyond simply the election that's coming up, I wanted to write a story that gave a factual, accurate recounting, not only of everything that we did through the course of the Clinton email investigation, what we did in 2016 with regard to Trump, but to give people an understanding of how the Russians work. From the perspective of somebody who, a counterintelligence expert who spent more than 20 years working this, to convey the idea and the way that a CI person would think about what is going on now and think about how to understand what Russia is and will continue to do. So I just, it's what we are facing is too critical. This is too challenging a time to stay silent. And so there was little question in my mind that I felt I needed to write the book.
Peter Strzok, you start this book talking about your career. It's a long career in counterintelligence and taking down a pair of Russian spies who lived in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and had been living there for a long time under false identities. And in talking about your work, it's clear that sometimes you catch people because they make little tiny mistakes. So I wonder what you think about the fact that you were taken down from your position at the FBI. You were eventually fired because of what you would even probably call a careless mistake in terms of the text messages that you were sending.
Yeah, I understand that perspective. And I deeply regret the way that some of my actions have been used to attack the things I love the most, my job, the FBI, my family, first and foremost. But at the same time, I think that when you look at the way that this was turned into a weapon, the way that the personal nature of some of these attacks are really have been done in a way that we haven't seen before in our history. And it's not just me. I mean, look at the way that anybody who has come out, with weaknesses or not, from Colonel Vindman to Ambassador Yovanovitch to the unnamed whistleblower, time and time again, people who are doing nothing other than telling the truth at a lower level, doing their duty, are being attacked in a personal way by this administration in a way that we've never seen before. So, it deeply troubles me that I serve as an example of some of the just outrageous behavior by this administration. But I think we need to look at the cause of what's behind that.
That is Peter Strzok, whose book is called Compromised: Counterintelligence and the Threat of Donald J. Trump. It is out today. Peter Strzok, thank you so much for joining us.
Jeremy, thanks so much. It was good to be here.